I'm Nina Turner. It is about passion, persistence, justice, dreams, insistence. Lots of people from all walks of life. I want people to see themselves in these stories.
We the people.
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 We are the people.
We the people.
We the people with yours truly, Nina Turner.
Strength, power under control, the ability to have the knowledge of what's going on in your life, to be able to control your emotions, that's strength.
Certain strength comes from being humble.
And objective in the face of adversity, so that they can make good decisions going forward.
You know, as I reflect on the word strength, you know, it can mean many things to many people. I mean, for some, it could mean just brute force. For others, strength could be having a connection with Mother Nature. Strength could be having a connection with one's self, to know thine own self. Strength could be, you know, being a single mother and working really hard to keep food on the table for your children. Or strength could be just trying to make it through every single day. Because in life, we have many, many obstacles. So it's important that we all take that word strength and try to figure out what it means to us. You know, a quote comes to mind for me from one of my favorite historical figures. His name is Booker T. Washington. And he once said that there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is by pushing down and the other is by pulling up. And that's just a beautiful thing to say about strength, that we can use our strength in ways that are good and uplifting, or we can use our strength in ways that are bad and limiting and hurt people. I choose to use my strength by pulling up. I am Nina Turner, president of Our Revolution. I am a former state senator from the great state of Ohio. I am an activist, an educator, a mother, a wife, and just an all-around hell-raising humanitarian, working very hard for the people of this great country, hoping to do my part to lift and to make this world a better place. And every week on We the People, we will explore a new theme on the show. This week, we're going to focus on strength.
Strength to me is the ability to find the good in things and continue going on and not sweating the small stuff. Pick the hill you want to die on. That's not it.
Well, if you can handle the emotional ups and downs of life today, you've got a strength of character. Well, my wife has strength of character. She's put up with me for 47 years.
That's to be able to do things you never thought you would be able to. That's my definition.
I want to introduce you to a woman who I know who personifies strength. Her name is Kimberly Ellis. She is a mother. She lives in the great state of California. She was the executive director of Emerge, which is an organization that helps women prepare to run for office. And they have hundreds of candidates, hundreds of women who decided to run and knew that they would be supportive. They are the biggest Emerge in the country. And she is certainly someone who has used her strength and continues to use her strength to lift. I told Kimberly that I was going to be in Oakland, California, because I promised never to come to California and be in the Bay Area, her area, without letting her know. And she came to see me. And as it turns out, we had to meet in her car, of all places. This is where we caught up, because we are busy women, but we're making it happen. No excuses allowed. Getting that girlfriend hug and conversation in the car.
And I just want everybody to take a moment to be grateful of the fact that we're not in my car, because it would not be this clean. They are not, you know, they're little men.
So Kimberly Ellis, the last time we were together, you were running to upset not only the great state of California, but the nation running to become the chairwoman of the largest Democratic Party in the United States of America. The nerve. What motivated you to do that?
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, for me, that really was about redefining what it meant to be a Democrat. I mean, that's what the whole campaign was about. With respect to the role of chair, for me, it really wasn't so much what the chair did as much as what the chair could do. And I really saw it as an opportunity to really reimagine that position, for it not just to be, in many ways, a figurehead position, a position and title only, but an opportunity to really roll up my sleeves, dig into the communities all across this beautiful state of California, and really not tell people what it meant to be a Democrat, but show them what it meant to be a Democrat through action, through the role of the chair of the Democratic Party.
So you were asking people to imagine what could be possible, to reimagine what could be possible in that role. And I remember, I mean, I was right there with you. It was awe-inspiring to see so many folks there to help this happen because they believed in your vision and the campaign that you ran. You ran a campaign that its idealism was strong. You also ran a campaign that really crossed the bridge between the quote unquote Bernie-crats and the Clintonites. How were you able to pull those two groups? God knows it's hard to pull those two groups together since 2016, and we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But you were able to do it. What was the secret to that?
What I always say when this particular topic comes up is that so many times we are fed false premises, and the suggestion that this fight for the California Democratic Party chair and really for the presidency was between two individual people is a false premise. Really, this for us has always been about the people. And it's the people versus sort of the establishment, the 1%, if you will, as opposed to individual people. So take the personalities out and let's get down to what this is really about. It's about people who believe that we can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. And that means distinguishing ourselves from the other side. There are a lot of people who have lost faith and trust in the Democratic Party, and rightfully so. Because we haven't done enough to distinguish ourselves from the other side. There are a lot of people who believe that because we take money from some of the same bad corporate actors that the Yes. Republicans take money from, that we have sold out. And there's a lot of truth to that. That really was what the campaign was about. And so how we were able to bring the not just the two different, you know, there are many different sort of pieces of this puzzle, if you will, but how we were able to bring that together was really starting from the premise that we are all in this to fight for more fairness, more justice, and more equity for everyone. Let's talk about the policies and the policy positions that this party should be standing for, and let's move from there.
Agreed. And, you know, often in my travels across the country, and I know you and I, we talk a lot, we text more. Thank God for text. You know, sis, how you doing? What's going on? What's up? What part of the world are you in? When you coming back to California? And me to you, you know, how's it going? What are you working on? Because you did ignite in many ways in this state, especially for progressives. I won't say exclusively for progressives, but especially for progressives, that there would be someone in that seat who understood that power and what it meant to be a leader of all people and not just one faction of the Democratic Party, not just one side. And that's in many ways how I believe you were able to bring people together. You were honest about why you were running, and you were honest about, you did not sugarcoat the fact that the Democratic Party has some explaining to do, some changing to do, you know, some reconciliation, some truth and reconciliation, if I can borrow that term from our South African sisters and brothers. You didn't run for that. I mean, that was one of the three major pillars or planks, if you will, in your platform. I mean, who does that?
Well, for starters, strong Black women do that.
Go ahead. Talk about that. Black magic is real. Black girl magic is real. Hashtag. Yes.
But on a serious tip, I think those
folks who understand that this fight is not new, this struggle is not new, that it is that many of us, I believe, have been called to continue to stand up and speak out for justice and to be strong in that and to understand that our ancestors fought and had it so much harder than we ever will. And to understand that and appreciate that. And, you know, one of the taglines of our campaign was to have the courage to facilitate difficult conversations and yes. tell hard truths. And I believe that, you know, when it comes to the Democratic Party, when it comes to the challenges we have, we can't talk around it. We can't talk over it or under it. We're going to have to talk through it. And we have a saying at Emerge California, which is the organization that I used to lead.
Yeah.
Those things that scare you most, don't run from them, run toward them. That's Amen. Actually where you will find your strength.
And you are the executive director of Emerge California, again, the largest Emerge in the country. I mean, you just, when you go big. Hell, you really personify go big or go home. Tell us a little more about Emerge.
We are training and putting out upwards of 100 women every single year to run for elected office. In the 15 years that Emerge California has been around, we've trained over 600 women to run. Half of them currently sit in elected or appointed office.
What a record.
And one of the things I'm most proud of is that our alumni actually look like California. 56% of them are women of color. You know, really, I think with respect to the work that I did at Emerge, it was about reminding women of the incredible importance of their voice and their perspective, and that they had a right to be seated at tables where decisions were being made about and for them.
You better say that.
And so once you remind women of that and give them the confidence and the courage they need and pair that with the skills and the knowledge of how to actually go about running for office, then it's just a matter of time before they identify the opportunities in their communities and then stop relegating and delegating our powers away to others to make those decisions and decide to throw their hat in the ring and run for office themselves.
And obviously, you listened to your own advice that you just given here, because you had the audacity. That's such a beautiful word to run. You know, you didn't get anybody's permission to do it. And some of the critics were saying that you were out to destroy the Democratic Party. You know, how does that make you feel as a young African-American woman on the move when people tell you that what you're doing is in some cases wrong because you didn't get permission and that you are a disruptor?
We need more disruption. We need more people who will think critically about how our policies and laws impact people's everyday lives and not just be concerned with ourselves and with our own. So if by disruptor you mean someone who is going to fight for equity and fairness and justice for everyone, then by all means, I'm the disruptor in chief. And what I would also say is, you know, with respect to those who had suggested that I was out to destroy the Democratic Party, I would say the Democratic Party doesn't need any help doing that. They're doing a good enough job on their own. Truth be told, the Democratic Party has been losing faith, and that is translated by the numbers of people who are choosing not to associate with the Democratic Party.
I mean, 46% of the registered voters in this country identify as independent voters.
71% of millennials between the ages of 18 and 35 want a third party. That is a problem. That is a big problem for the Democratic Party. And if they are not willing to address that head on and not hem and haw and make excuses, then I believe that in the very near future, they will become irrelevant. And
by their own hand.
By their own hand.
You know, we know that over half of white women voted for Mr. Trump. And instead of some people looking within to figure out what we did wrong as Democrats, what we could do better and what we could do different, people in the establishment have tended to blame women, to say that they don't think. And in the case of Senator Sanders with millennials, a prominent woman made the statement that it's the girls following the boys. And I'm not even asking you to weigh in so much on the 2016 race as much as even folks who should be more enlightened than that still make those kinds of comments about a woman's agency. What would you say about that?
I would say to understand that just like money and power, agency has been used over and against us as women historically, and that it is time for us to take that back completely. And instead of guessing or pontificating about why folks voted for certain candidates, perhaps they should ask those people who actually voted for them.
How about that?
Perhaps they voted for the person who they believed in and who they thought would hold that office in the highest regard and fight on behalf of everyday folks. Perhaps they were voting for the person who made them imagine again, who made them dream, who gave them hope. Maybe that's why.
Maybe
that's why people voted for the folks who they voted for. And so, you know, we do a lot of assuming. I think that the Democratic Party as an institution oftentimes makes a lot of assumptions. I think, if I'm being perfectly honest, Democrats don't trust their voters as much as Republicans trust their voters. And that's a hard truth. They make decisions with respect to who our candidates should be. There's a trainer for Emerge California. Her name is Jonah Olson, and Cultural Bridges to Diversity, an amazing woman. But she has a saying that she says, which I think is brilliant. And that saying is, who chooses the choices we choose? And she talked about growing up in the 50s, having the choice, a career choice of being a school teacher, a nurse, a stay-at-home mom, or a secretary. And that at the time, those four choices felt like a lot. But who had chosen those choices from which she and so many others in her generation got to choose? That is something we should remember as we think about, you know, reimagining our institutions, our political institutions, because there is a sort of behind the scenes process that goes on before candidates are oftentimes presented to us from which to choose. And that is, I believe, incredibly undemocratic.
I would concur, no surprise there, but who chooses the choices we choose? That is so powerful. And, you know, I put it this way, that we elect the selected. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my shorthand to that. We elect the selected. And as conscious-minded folks, we can't abdicate our responsibility to be engaged in this process, because a representative democracy requires participation. We can't be on the sidelines. You traveled this state. Tell us about that experience of traveling the state, and what kind of understandings did you get from listening to people as you were campaigning to become the chairwoman of the California Democratic Party?
Yeah. You know, I had the incredible privilege of visiting 50 out of 58 of the counties here in California. And it is indeed a beautiful state, a very diverse state. And I think one of the biggest takeaways that I learned was that people, regardless of what part of the state they were in, at the end of the day, wanted the same things. They wanted job security, food security. They wanted clean water to drink. They wanted an environment that was healthy, not just for them, but that would be around for their children and their children's children. They wanted a government that worked for them. A lot of our campaign was really focused around getting the party back to being the party of the people. California is a Democratic state.
Yes.
We run the board. Our governor's a Democrat. All of our constitutional officers are Democrat.
Yes.
We have a supermajority in our state legislature. And so in my opinion, there is no good reason in a state that is controlled by Democrats that we should be number one in terms of poverty. Number one in terms of homelessness, that Kern County, which is in the Central Valley, has the worst air quality in the entire country, that public schools here in California rank 47th out of 50. There is no good reason why some of these problems that we face here in California should be the way they are with a Democratic majority in all of our offices. And so a big part of this was really, again, not just talking about our values, but living our values. And one of my mentors, Delaine Easton, who is running for governor here in California, says, budgets are statements of values.
That's it.
It's not what we say we care about. It's the actions that demonstrate what we care about. And a budget is a great example of what we value as a society. And so this really was about as you said, truth and reconciliation, about making sure the words and the actions lined up, about getting us back to center and remembering our true north. And there were a lot of people for whom that resonated. That's really what this was about. That's what kept me inspired. That's what kept me going. And when we were there, and you know what's funny is I keep getting Facebook reminders because the 1 year anniversary of the election is coming up in just a couple weeks. It was May 20th. And so I'm remembering all over again that weekend and that day in particular. And I got to tell you, as bittersweet as it was, and knowing that we were robbed of a rightful victory, the movement that we sparked continues on even stronger today. And yes. So it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And the people who I met along the journey who are continuing to soldier on and fight this this battle make me so proud. And I'm proud of everything that that campaign did and everything we did. And I have pledged to continue to soldier on and to fight on as well for progressive values.
Well, you make them proud, too. I mean, Kimberly Ellis, I mean, you shook the foundation. And some people have just thrown up their hands and they've said, really, the hell with the Democratic Party, because we have the corporations have two parties and the people have none. Mm-hmm. But what we were able to do in California is something special. This didn't happen overnight. We had to convince people who were not within the structure of the Democratic Party here in California to run in their precincts so that they can have a voice inside. So what do you say to both sides, to people who want to continue to work within the Democratic Party, but then there are also some people out there who say, the hell with the Democratic Party?
Yeah. I say we need them both. We need people forcing change within the party and people forcing change outside of the party. We won 68% of the elected delegate vote. That cannot be denied.
That's amazing.
And so I would remind folks of something that we as African Americans and certainly as Black women know very well, and that is oftentimes, even though we win, victory is not always granted on that first time. Oftentimes we have to win straight out, win two or three or four times before we actually get to realize that win. And so I just want to remind people, as we are coming up on the anniversary of that historic campaign and day, that we did not lose, that we won in so many ways, and to continue fighting inside and outside for the change that we know is possible, because we are on the cusp. And that is something that no one can take away from us. What they want most is for us to give up and go away. And so what we must continue doing is showing up, because showing up is half the battle, and continue fighting.
There it is, showing up and showing out in a good way. You know, I'm reminded of a headline, you know, Kimberly Ellis, the most powerful unelected person in California Democratic politics. Your tagline, you know, if you will, your battle cry, it's not even your tagline. It was your mantra. It was your brand. That's the word I was looking for. In the spirit of Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, unbossed, unbossed. You know, that's my idol. That's my queen. You know, it's grandma and then it's Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm. You know, I got the book in my bag right now. Do I need to pull it out? I carry it with me everywhere that I go. But unbossed and unbossed in that frame. Talk to us about strength. Our strength. What does strength mean to you? And what would you say to the countless millions of people in this country, not just in your state, because what you did was a show of strength to women and disaffected people all over this country, that if you believe in something enough and you can be bold enough, have audacity, that you can do anything, no matter what the naysayers have to say. That was a show of strength. It was the same strength that Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm had when she decided in 1972, oh, I'm running. You know, there were Black folks against her. There were power structure folks against her who were not Black. You know, just the power structure, period, of any ethnicity stood against her because she was a woman, and how dare she just even think about running for the president of the United States of America. You know, in that speech that she gave in Brooklyn, she said, you know, I don't have no fancy folks here with me. I'm not standing, you know, ain't no celebrity standing, no fat cats, you know, and I'm running. You know, she said, I am black, I'm proud, and I'm a woman, I'm equally proud of that, but I'm running to be the president of all people in the United States of America. In that same way, you running to be the chairwoman of the California Democratic Party is very reminiscent of what Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm did in 1972. Her audacity, her nerve, you know, what the nerve of her to run for president of the United States, that's strength. So what does that word mean to you, and what words of encouragement would you give to others who find themselves not having the strength?
Yeah, when I think about strength, I think about Shirley. I think about my grandmothers, both of them, June, Frances, and Catherine, who were the matriarchs of both my, you know, both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side. And as black women, how they, you know, in the 30s and 40s, had to, against all odds, not just survive, but thrive. And they did. And so when I think about strength, I think about women. And the fact that women are the salt of the earth, and that we have continued to not just resist, but persist over time. In fact, we come from a long ancestral line of persisters, and that it is our duty and obligation as individuals who were privileged enough to be born into the bodies of women, of That's black right. women, to continue standing up and speaking out for the less fortunate and the voiceless, because so many have done it before us, and we stand on their shoulders. And there's I have this T-shirt that my good friend Shafali sent to me that I am my ancestors' wildest dreams.
Amen. Yeah. That is so true. So Kimberly, what's next? You know, a lot of people want to know what's next for you. I mean, you were a disruptor, and you still are. You upset the entire universe, you know, with that run. What's next for you?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Shirley Chisholm's tagline, I am launching a new initiative called Unbought Unbossed, and it is going to be an incubator for the next generation of progressive disruptors.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, you know, Kimberly Ellis, you personify strength in every way. And 100 years from now, somebody's going to be talking about Kimberly Ellis and her strength and her audacity to be bold and to be radical, because radical just simply means getting to the root. And you very much so, in your candidacy to become the chairwoman of the California Democratic Party, you were showing to the entire world, the entire country, what true leadership is and what true love is. That love is fierce in every single way. And you are one of the fiercest of them all. So thank you, Kimberly.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being a role model for folks like me to look up to. And I just want to say I love you and I appreciate you. And I'm grateful to you for everything that you're doing. And I think we all understand that this is a shared struggle. And I think that's one thing I want folks to remember, that we're not in this alone, that this is a shared experience and a shared journey. And we are there for one another to lift one another up when we need it. So
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I love you too.
I stand before you today as a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States of America. I am not the candidate of Black America, although I am Black and proud. I am not the candidate of the women's movement of this country, although I am a woman and I'm equally proud of that. I am the candidate of the people of America.
Anybody who's followed my political career knows very, very keenly that I am the only unbought and unbossed politician. And I mean that literally.
It was so good to talk about strength. You know, that's a word that we rarely think deeply about. But Booker T. Washington really hit the nail on the head that there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is by pushing down. You know, and so often in life, whether it's systems, whether it's individuals, you know, so many people feel pushed down. But the other way to use one's strength is by lifting up. You know, I choose to use my strength that way, and I know so many other people who do too. And it has to be a conscious decision. You know, we have to consciously decide that we are going to use our strength by lifting up. And just imagine that, how much better our communities would be, how much better our cities would be, our states, our the nation, and the world by extension, if you could just visualize millions and millions and millions of people across the spectrum of life, using their strength, whether it's mental strength, whether it's spiritual strength, and there are ways to use physical strength in a positive way, but just imagine a world like that, where people decided to use their strength to lift up. You know what? That sounds really good to me. I'm Nina Turner. Thank you for listening to We the People. And if you like our show, subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Next time on We the People, how yesterday affects tomorrow. We the People is produced by Large Media. That's LARJ Media in partnership with the Young Turks Network.